Good to see you on this Labor Day weekend, the beautiful weekend, even with a little bit of rain. It rained a little bit this weekend. Did y'all get some rain? I got some rain. Oh, but we need that. God is good, takes care of us, and we're enjoying the beautiful weather. Labor Day itself, it sounds like a daunting name, doesn't it? We get that day off. Is everybody happy? If you have tomorrow off, aren't you glad? But you think of it as Labor Day, which pretty much defines sometimes how we feel about our jobs. We are tired, it's a labor, so we enjoy an extra day of rest. The sad truth is we carry that over into ministry as well, into serving God in the church. Now, that can be tiring also, but it should not be daunting. It should not be such a drag or a duty that we do not find joy in serving God. We labor for the Lord in ministry together. We labor for the Lord as the church together, but let us enjoy that labor. Let us find joy in that, as the Bible teaches. That's what the message series is about that we're in right now, finding your shape in ministry. That is, finding how God has designed you and wired you to serve Him in the church, in the body of Christ, in ministry. Because as we've learned, God has made each of us for that purpose. And when we come to Christ, when we're born again, we learn that God has shaped us for ministry in the body of Christ, which means also that God expects us to serve Him in that place of ministry in the body of Christ. And to be obedient to Him is to serve Him, and that's where we find that joy that we are sharing with Him, participating with God in ministry. Last week, we looked at the first letter in the word shape, your spiritual gifts, and we talked about discovering those spiritual gifts. This morning, we go to the second letter, heart. We'll look in the weeks ahead at abilities, personality, and experience. We'll talk about how God has shaped and made you. But this morning, we're going to look at what we mean by heart, having a heart for ministry and what God designed you to do. Often, that's what we're missing in ministry, is having a heart for what God wants us to do. God has designed us to be passionate about what He's called us to do in ministry. And we're not designed or wired to do everything in ministry, to say yes to everything. There's an old saying that the need is not the call. And God has wired you for a call, for a purpose, for a design in the body of Christ and in ministry. So I hope this message series helps you discover that and moves forward, helps you move forward in your shape and in serving Him in ministry. We were not designed to do everything. The Apostle Paul himself is a good example of what it means if we focus on what God has wired us to do and God has designed us to do in ministry. The Apostle Paul knew that he was called by God, commissioned by God, given a heart for the mission to the Gentiles, to reach non-Jews for Christ, wherever they were and all through the Roman Empire. So that's what the Apostle Paul did. He understood this mission so much and he loved it so much that he refused not to do it. He refused to not focus on that. For example, he said in one place that to understand his ministry, you had to understand that he was called to plant churches, but not to stay there and be the pastor. That is to say, he would, as he put it, he would lay the foundation that others would build on. Now, did that mean he had no heart to be no heart for people, that he would not be a good pastor? That's not what that means at all. Sometimes he would stay as long as 2 years in one place after he planted a church. He would serve that church. He would love the people. He would lead more to Christ. He would help them grow in ministry. But it was not his job to stay there and serve long-term as pastor. His focus, his passion, his call was to move forward in ministry. And his example is to say to you and I that God has put a passion in your heart. God has put a place of service for you. And if we learn to focus on that place of service, while we will serve Him in other ways, there are other good things we can do for the Lord. If we stay in that focus, we will have joy in ministry, always doing what God wants us to do. Does that mean it will be easy? Not at all. Again, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was jailed, he was shipwrecked, but he never stopped. And he never stopped because he knew that's what God wanted him to do. That was his passion, that was his heart, that was his place in ministry. This morning we want to investigate the anatomy of the heart as the Bible teaches it. What do we mean by the heart in ministry? The Bible uses the term heart more than 1,000 times throughout the Bible. But most often when the Bible uses the term heart, The Bible does not mean that organ that pumps blood in your chest. Every year I have an annual checkup at the doctor. Do you? You know, the doctor every year have an annual checkup, blood work, and all that goes along with it. And they always check my heart, a little EKG along with that. And it's always great to hear them say, "Wow, you're doing great. Your heart's in good shape." And I go home and eat a hamburger because I feel so good about myself. It's good to hear your heart's in good shape. But the Bible doesn't mean, when it speaks of the heart, it doesn't always mean that organ pumping in your chest. So what do we mean this morning, and what else does the Bible mean by having a heart for ministry? This past Tuesday, Tim Tebow had his first tryouts for Major League Baseball. And not everyone was kind to him in the news about these tryouts, and not a few reporters afterward asked him a lot of questions. And one of the questions they asked him was, why in the world would you try out for Major League Baseball? Tim Tebow, you think of him, you think of football. Why would you try out for Major League Baseball? This is what he said. He said, "This is something I love to do. And I think when you have that mindset, it lets you be free to just go out there and compete. It lets you be free to do what a lot of people think you can't do. So when you don't have any fear, it lets you be able to be free to pursue life and what you're passionate about, not what other people think you should do." That's a wonderful definition of what we're talking about this morning. When you see your relationship with God in right perspective, when you understand that He has shaped you for ministry, when you understand that He's put a passion in your heart for doing something for Him in the church and in ministry, it really doesn't matter what other people think or say or what duties they try to put on you. You know you are free to serve God. You're free to serve Him, and there is no liberty, no freedom, quite like the freedom of knowing you're where God wants you to be and you're doing what God wants you to do. What a great liberty and joy that is. When we speak of the heart, we're speaking, as the Bible does, of what makes up our personality, our passions, our motivations, our character, our values. These are the things of the heart. And God has designed you. He has wired you with that heart and a heart for ministry. So it's our job to discover what that heart is, what it is God wants us to do in ministry, what He designed us to be passionate about, to find joy in ministry. Now, it's important to understand there are some ministries in the church that all believers are called to do and to participate in. And if we do them in right relationship with God, we will enjoy them. Understand, we find joy in these ministries. All believers do. But along with that, God has wired some folks with a unique gift and a unique passion for those same ministries. The best example I can give, and the most obvious in the Bible, is evangelism. All believers in Christ, without exception, are called to participate in sharing the gospel. We are called to evangelism. There is no exception to that. And you say, "Well, Pastor Bob, why is it that I get nervous about that? Why is it that I don't do that?" The reason you don't do that is because you don't do that. It's very simple. If you would start talking to people about Christ, you would find the joy in it. You would find the pressure lifted. You would find the nerves go away. It's not God making you nervous. Our problem, the reason we don't talk to people about Jesus, is because we don't talk to people about Jesus. If we would start talking to people, we would find the freedom that comes with that. But even though all of us are called to do that and all of us are commanded to do that, there are some people who are just so passionate about it, you can't get them to shut up. Have you ever been around those kind of people? They are just all. One of my good friends, Marty Dupree, works for the North Carolina Baptist State Convention in, big surprise, evangelism. And his gift and his call and his passion is one-on-one conversations with people about Jesus. And he can quietly, carefully, excitedly move any conversation to talk about Jesus. If you want to be fired up and if you want a reality check, go to lunch with Marty Dupree. Because anybody that comes to the table, in a few minutes, he knows their name and he can tell them what their name means. He can quote scripture to them about their name and about who they are. He finds out who they are. By the time the check comes, he shared Christ with them. And I've just been eating. All of us are called to be ready and to share the gospel, but some of us are just passionate about it. It's our heart to do so. So when we talk about passion and heart for ministry, we're not excluding those things that we're all commanded to do and to participate in. And if we will do those things in right relationship with God, we'll find joy in those also. We'll see God working in those things. What we mean this morning is that God has gifted you, wired you, designed you, and given you a heart for a particular area of ministry. Maybe two, but in particular, there is something God's wired you to do. God's designed you and shaped you to do, and that's your heart for ministry. So for the next few minutes this morning, I want us to look together at three truths and four commitments related to the anatomy of our hearts. We're going to explore the anatomy of our heart for ministry by looking at these three truths and four commitments. So look at this with me. If you have your Bible this morning, you can look at the scriptures. I'm going to look at several scriptures this morning. They'll be on the screen for you, but you may want to just make note of them, look them up later as I move along, but you're welcome to look at these with me as well. First of all, three truths about our heart for ministry. The first truth is, if we are apart from Christ, our heart is selfish. If we are apart from Christ, our heart is selfish. It is evil, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says, apart from Christ, the heart is evil all the time. See, apart from Christ, before you were born again in Christ, your natural inclination of the heart, your motivations, your values, your passions were always about you. And you might say, well, Pastor Bob, what about doing good things? Good people do good things. Well, the Bible teaches there is no one good but God. We are all sinners, and we all act out of that sinful nature. Even often when we do what we call good things, we are doing them by selfish motivations. We are doing them to draw attention to ourselves or because of what we can get out of those things. If you have your Bible, look in the Old Testament at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The inclinations of us, when we're apart from Christ, our inclinations, the Bible says, are always sinful. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The Bible says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, or as one translation says, it's incurable. Who can understand it? See, the unrepentant and unsaved and unregenerate heart is always deceitful. It's always evil. It's always sinful. It's always selfish. It's important to understand this for a particular reason. First, that before you come to Christ, your heart is not in the things of God. It's not. You might be religious, but your heart is not in submitting to God and serving God and finding that heart for ministry, that place for ministry. It's in doing things that you want to do. But the second reason it's important is to know that what we mean by following your heart, by the motivations of the heart, is not what the world means. It's not what the unsaved means. Hear very clearly, I am not saying if it feels good to you, that's what you should do. I'm not saying, as the world often does, what the heart wants, the heart gets. That's not what we're talking about. Those are all selfish motivations. That's people following what people want. And it ignores that you are created and designed in the image of God for the purposes of God. What we mean this morning, as we'll see as we go along, is that the born-again believer now is able to submit to what God wants them to do and find the passion, find the love for ministry that God has put in our heart. It's not self-serving anymore, it's serving Christ. So the first truth to understand is that apart from Christ, the heart is always selfish. Here's the second truth. When we come to Christ, our heart is renewed. When we come to Christ, our heart is changed. It's renewed. Still in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Through the prophet Ezekiel, this is what God says, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. God says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That is to say, God says, when you come to Christ, God gives you a change of heart. Jesus called it being born again. You're redeemed, you're regenerated, you're changed. And now your heart wants the things of God. It doesn't mean that you don't have any evil or sinful inclinations, but now you understand the difference. And God can change your heart to want the things that God wants. He can change your heart now to live for Christ and to live by faith. The Bible says, though we live in the flesh now in Christ, we live by faith because He's given us a new heart and we've been redeemed in Christ. Not long ago, I was talking to one of our children who had made a decision for Christ, and I had the joy of sitting down and talking with her a little bit about her decision. And I said, "Tell me what it means to be a Christian." And this is what she said. "Oh, it means to be fresh and clean." Isn't that great? It means to be fresh and clean. God said, "I will give you a new heart when you come to Christ." Jesus called it being born again, being redeemed, being regenerated. Once you come to Christ, your heart has been renewed. Now your heart can focus on the things of God. Now your heart realizes when you've been out of step with God. Now your heart wants to be less selfish and more sacrificial for Christ. Then the third truth follows that. When our heart is renewed, we delight in serving God. When our heart is renewed, this is what changes. Our delight is not just in serving ourselves. Our delight now is in serving God. We want to find joy in that. We find pleasure in serving God from a new heart, from a new perspective. We want to serve God and find that joy and that delight in serving Him. Those are three basic truths to understand about the heart, the spiritual heart, our motivations, our values. Now look with me at four commitments. If you ask this morning, now that I understand this about my heart, what should I do? How can I discover my heart and my shape for ministry? And what does God want me to do? Look at these four commitments with me. First, commit to loving God. Commit to loving God. Knowing your shape for ministry and your heart for ministry begins with your relationship with God. Often we make the mistake of reversing that. We start saying, what do I need to do? What do I like to do? Where do I want to serve? What do I want to do? And we put the focus on tasks and actions. But God puts the focus on relationship. In order to know your shape and design for God's ministry, you need to begin with knowing and loving God. Loving God is the first step towards serving God. It's the first step toward understanding who you are in Christ and what He wants you to do. Look at Psalm 37. If you have your Bible, Psalm 37 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord means start with your relationship with God. Begin with the joy of just knowing God. Get to know Him better. Ask Him to love you. You spend time loving Him. Delight yourself in His presence. Delight yourself in the relationship. And here's what's going to happen. God's going to start shaping your heart to have desires that follow His desires. To want to serve where He wants you to serve. But it begins being in right relationship with God in the first place. So the first commitment to make is to love God, to know God, to spend time with God. This is why Jesus, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandments that we can keep? He said, number one, here it is. The most important thing, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because a heart that loves God first is a heart that becomes passionate about the things of God. It's a heart that loves the things of God. It's a heart that loves serving God. So the first place, the first commitment we make, the place to begin, is loving God. So commit to loving God. Then second, commit to obeying God. Commit to obeying God. You know, the Lord Jesus said once, here's how you love me. He says, very simple. If you want to love me, because everyone knew He loved them, but how do we love Him back? He says, very simple. Obey my commands. Yeah, you just obey God's commands. You do what God wants. Obedience follows loving God. If you still have your Bible open, look at the New Testament book of Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. When you're loving God, you begin to obey God from the heart. Because you want to. You want to do what God wants you to do. Look at what Paul said about this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." Notice what he says. Previously, you were slaves to sin. Previously, your heart was completely selfish, it was unrighteous, and you were a sinner, and you were enslaved to that. That's how you lived. But now you've had a change of heart because you've come to Christ. And since you've come to Christ, though before you were slaves to sin, now your heart can be obedient to the things of God. And in obedience to the things of God, God can start teaching you how to be committed to Him and what He wants you to do. It starts with loving God. It follows with a commitment to simple obedience. God, I will do what you say. I will do what you say. Notice how, if we follow these commitments, we are pulling away a little at a time the selfishness in our lives. We are pulling away the notion that, well, I want to do that in the church. I want to do that in the church. This is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. We're pulling that away because now we're letting God shape our hearts in that relationship with God. Now we're committing to being obedient to who He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. That brings us to the third commitment. Commit then to serving God. You've committed to loving God. You've committed to obeying Him. Now commit to serving God. Part of your commitment to serving God is an honest evaluation of who you are, or better put, who God says you are. An honest evaluation of your condition, of your situation, and of where you should be serving. Remember, you've committed to obey Him. So now you're going to commit to serving wherever He wants you to serve. But you and God need to get together and have an honest conversation about your heart, about who you are and who He has wired you to be. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins the chapter talking about that we worship God mostly by sacrificing ourselves to Him. And then God begins to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Then after that, the Apostle starts talking about spiritual gifts. It begins to talk about in Romans chapter 12 where we plug in ministry and gives examples of spiritual gifts. But Romans chapter 12 verse 3 is the transitional sentence for that, and it's very important. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Paul says God has allotted to each person a measure of grace and faith to serve Him in Christ. But before we can discover and apply that, we need an honest, sound judgment of ourselves. He says it begins like this. Don't think more highly of yourself than you should think. Think honestly about yourself. It begins with how you think about yourself. And here's what Paul means. He's telling the church in Rome this, and God's telling us this. Don't look across the aisle and say, "Boy, I sure do wish I could do what they do in ministry. I wish I was mature in ministry as they are. I wish I could serve here and serve there, be like her, be like him." Don't do that. Because that just distracts you from who God wants you to be. And don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Don't aspire to things God has not yet prepared you for, places God is not taking you just yet, because God has a place for you to serve now. So Paul says, instead, take an honest assessment of yourself. Use sound judgment, get with God, and say, "God, who am I? Where do you want me to serve?" Never mind what other people are doing. Never mind aspirations and ambitions, and never mind selfishness at all. Get with God and say, "God, what do you want me to do? This is who I am. God, you made me. You show me who I am. You show me my heart. You tell me my place and my design. Because, God, you have given me gifts for this. You have prepared me for this time. So, God, what do you want me to do?" A commitment to serve is an honest evaluation of yourself and letting God tell you where He wants you to be. Along with that, as you are evaluating where you are, as you're praying through this with God, let me offer a few questions you can ask that will help you zero in on your heart for ministry. Maybe help you clarify some things about your service and your life for ministry. For example, the first question is, what do you love to do? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? What do you love to do? But very often, we think of serving God that if it's religious, if it's holy, if it's righteous, it must be depressing and difficult and a drudgery. That's why you never see Christians smiling. See, that's because heaven forbid we should enjoy serving God. But the biblical picture is exactly the opposite of that. The biblical picture is while service may tire us, while service may be difficult, it is a joy to do. And if we are where God wants us to be, believe it or not, we'll actually like it. We'll actually be passionate about it. God has put in your heart a love for a place of ministry. If you're thinking right now, well, I'm serving in the church or I'm serving the Lord and I'm not loving it very much. Well, if you could push everything aside and just say, you know what, if I could do anything for the Lord, this is what I'd do. If I could do anything for the Lord, this is what I'd do. How would you fill in the blank? Or if I could do, this is what I would really love to do for the Lord. How would you fill in the blank? Because God has shaped you for a place of ministry. And that's one way he can show you what that is. Another question you can ask is, what holds your interest? When you're active in ministry, when you're active in the church family, when you're on mission for the Lord, what holds your interest? Another way to put it is, you don't get bored. You could keep doing this. In fact, you're surprised when the time's up and it's time to go home or it's time to return or it's time to pack up and leave. You're like, wow, I was having such a great time. What holds your interest in ministry, no matter what? One of the big problems we have in this difference between loving ministry and the duty and understanding the balance and which works and what God wants us to do is that often we think that the need is the call. So we receive a phone call from the nominating committee. In the back of our minds, we somewhat dread that moment when they call. Now, God bless the nominating committee, I know. But and if Pastor Bob makes the call, even worse. You know, but that call, because we feel like we have an obligation to say yes. And as soon as we say yes and hang up the phone, our heart drops. And we're looking at the next 6 to 12 months and we're thinking, boy, I got to do this. I mean, obviously they called me. It must be what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. You know what happens? In 6 months, you stop. In 6 months, you get tired. In 6 months, you have no passion. In 6 months, you stop showing up. You stop helping out. You leave a gap in the ministry that someone else has to fill. But instead, if you knew your heart for ministry, if you knew what you would love to do, if you knew what would hold your interest, you would call the nominating committee. You would call Pastor Bob, Pastor Mike, Pastor Matt, and you would say, this is what I want to do. If nobody's doing it, let's do it anyway. This is where my heart is. Does that mean it would be easy? Of course not. Does that mean it would be lightweight? It might be hard work, but you would be in it, you would love it, you'd be passionate about it, and 12 months would go by and you'd sign up for another 12 because you love it. That's the difference. And if you find yourself in the first version, boy, I just can't believe I said yes to this. There's your problem. You haven't started loving God, obeying God, then asking God, who am I? And what is it you want me to do? Because that's what I want to do. Where's my heart, God, in ministry? Because that's what I want to do. Another question. Where have you been most effective? Where have you been most effective? In the past, you've been on mission trips. In the past, you've taught Sunday school. In the past, you've served on committees. Where in all of that, very different kinds of ministries, did you find yourself most effective, find yourself most engaged and willing to work? That's a good indication of where your heart is. And let's add to it this. What do people most affirm in you? And when you're serving in ministry, what do people most say? Wow, that you light up when you do this. You are all about this. You're passionate about this. You're most effective in this because God uses other people to affirm who we are and what we should be doing. So ask yourself that question also. What do people most affirm in you? So as you get with God and you explore your heart and what God wants to do in ministry and you commit to serving God, that means serving Him wherever He wants you to serve. You push away all the preconceived notions and assumptions and you say, God, I just want to serve where you want me to serve. What have you shaped me for? What have you designed me for? That brings us to a fourth commitment. Commit then to trusting God. On the front end of a ministry, sometimes we wonder, why does God want me to do this? I'm excited about it. My heart's in it. I'm doing it, but I haven't done this before. Or maybe I'm surprised God's asked me again. But why is God at? That's where you have to start trusting God. God is doing a work in you. And God is going to use you to do a work in the church and in other people's lives. A familiar passage in the Old Testament book of Proverbs in chapter 3, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord first with all of your heart. Remember, it goes back to loving God, obeying God, serving God. Trusting God means, God, whatever you want me to do, I may not understand the outcome, I might not know where this is going, but God, I know that you are at work. And this is what you want me to do. So God, I will trust you and I will commit to trusting God. Why is this important? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 reminds us of this. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You thought you just signed up for something. You thought you just said yes to the committee when they called, or you said, I'd really like to do this, and you offered your services. That's what you thought was going on. Here's what God was doing. God is doing a work in you to make you more like Christ. And as God is doing a work in you, God is working in you to bring about His work in other people. And God is doing a work in you when you are passionate about ministry and you're committed to serving. God is working in you to make you the person He designed you to be all along. The danger of being out of step with God in ministry is we're not in step with His growing design for us, with the joy and the pleasure He finds in our lives by working through us to bring out ministry. Did you know that when you're serving God in ministry in the right place, God enjoys that? God is the one giving you pleasure. God is the one bringing joy out of what you're doing. And He's doing it through you. You're not doing it alone. That's why you're trusting God. And He's working through you. There is no greater joy than to be passionate about the place God has put us in ministry. No greater joy than to be able to say, my heart is in it. My heart is in it. And my God is working through me in this ministry. There's an Estonian composer named Arvo Pärt. Not a lot of Americans know his name, but among composers, he's famous worldwide. He's won international awards. He has several honorary doctorates. He's known for writing wonderful symphonies. But a few years ago, he came into a time of crisis, and Arvo Pärt had marital problems, huge struggles in his marriage, and major sickness and illness in his life and in the lives of loved ones as well. And during that time period, Arvo Pärt came to Christ, became a Christian. He came out of that time still writing music, but many people who know him noticed that his music had changed. It seemed deeper, it seemed richer, it seemed more meaningful now that he'd been through those struggles in life. And a British publication interviewed Arvo Pärt and mentioned the change in his music, and he had just written another wonderful symphony, and they commented on that. And they asked him, now that he was in another stage of writing music, what his goal was now. And he said, well, to be honest with you, I have just one goal now, and it's not about me. So I just have one goal now. And my goal is that every note of music I write would show the love that I have for music. Every note would express my love for music. God is writing your life and has called you to ministry. And in God's hands, every step, every service, every submission, every act of obedience is God playing the notes of your life and writing a symphony with it. Did you know that God loves to see you serve and enjoys it when you do? Because God designed you for that. Our desire and our call is first to commit to loving Him. In right relationship with God, in loving God in Christ, we start to learn who He made us to be. So I would challenge you first this morning, is that the commitment you need to make? And it could be you're sitting here this morning and you realize today you have no relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I talked about being born again a moment ago. And you realize you've never been born again. You've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and give you that new heart and that new life. That's the place to start today. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior. But maybe you're a believer in here, and as with most of us, your desire is simply to express that passion in ministry, to serve God where God wants you to be. So I want to encourage you this morning, commit to loving Him, commit to obeying Him, commit to serving Him, commit to trusting Him. Step out on faith and say, God, today I commit to who You have called me to be, where You want me to serve, God, and I will trust You with that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to this moment, God, of response, I pray for each of us in here. As You work in our lives, as You work in our hearts, God, as You call us to respond to You, Father, I pray we would be obedient. I pray, God, this morning we would commit to loving You. We would commit to obeying You, to serving You, God, and most of all, to trusting You, Father, with whatever You want us to do. But God, with that, we need to trust You with our lives. We need to trust You, God, with our families, with our decisions, with our uncertainties, God. We need to trust You with our worries, Father, and with our dreams. So, Father, this morning I pray that each of us would trust You today with all that burdens us. We would surrender fresh to You today, God, as You're calling us to. And I do pray, God, for that one who needs Christ as their Savior. And today, God, that would be the turning point in their lives. They would trust Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, that they would be born again in Christ today. Father, maybe there's one who needs to join fellowship with this church. God, I pray we take that step of faith. Maybe there's one who needs to step out in faith in missions or in ministry. Father, You know how You're speaking to us, God, and we do also. But God, I pray we would yield to You this morning and answer Your call. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.